You know, I'll tell you what, we have been so amazed at the publicity with Dr. Burzynski. That's B-U-R-Z-Y-N-S-K-I. He is one of the world's leaders in working with cancer, and we're going to hear it straight from him today. And so it's my very special pleasure to introduce our special guest, Dr. Burzynski. Good morning, Dr. Burzynski. A pleasure to have you.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to be with you.
My pleasure. Thanks for being with us. It's been over 20 years since we last spoke, and I'll tell you what, you have been making headlines coast to coast around the globe with your new movie that we wanted to just announce right now. This is going to be debuting March 28th at the Paramount Theater and Garden State Film Festival. We'll talk about that later in the program, but first of all, let's begin, Dr. Burzynski, with giving us a brief history of your amazing cancer research.
Well, as you know, I immigrated from Poland to the United States in 1970s, and my main goal was to find a successful treatment for cancer.
Yes.
To be more precise, I was not trying to introduce the treatment for early stages of cancer, but really the cancer, which is uniformly deadly, inoperable, advanced, something like stage 4 cancer, for which there are no standard treatments. Well, at that time, I discovered a group of chemicals which exist in blood of healthy people, but they are deficient in patients who have cancer. And these chemicals were peptides or small proteins and derivatives of amino acids. I named them antineoplastos, which means chemicals which work against cancer. And why I gave them such name? Because in our laboratory testing, we found that these peptides, they can kill practically any type of cancer cells we try, but they were not killing normal cells. This was something unusual. At the same time, some researchers were saying that, well, you can put a soap solution to the cell culture of cancer cells and you can kill them. Of course, by the same token, you kill normal cells. But the chemicals which we used, they were killing cancer cells, but normal cells were living good life, okay, at the same time. This was something
yes.
unusual. This was in suggesting that such chemicals are very specific. They kill cancer cells, don't harm normal cells. That's why I decided to develop this further. I didn't have a chance to do it in a communist country because at the same time I was against the communism, and that's why I arrived to America. And I found myself in the Bronx on Labor Day in 1970 with $20 of all of my possessions because the communist government did not permit me to take anything else.
I see. Oh,
so then from this point, I embark on the task of bringing and approving cancer cure in America, which was a crazy idea, just to be in Bronx with $20 and think about such task at the same time when President Nixon was committing billions of dollars for the war on cancer.
Yes.
But again, young people have crazy idea. I was 27 years old at that time. And obviously what the young man should do when he is in Bronx, penniless, and he would like
yes.
to do something in America. Well, he should go west, of course.
Yes. Yeah, there
and
you go.
I went west, and I went to Houston, Texas. Texas means friendly, and certainly I met a bunch of friendly people who helped me to survive. I got an appointment at Baylor College of Medicine, and soon after that, I was promoted to a faculty position at Baylor, and received a grant from the National Cancer Institute to study the peptides which I discovered in Poland.
I see.
For 7 years, I was at Baylor College and was promoting research, doing laboratory research, which revealed that truly these peptides were amazing. They could kill numerous different types of cancer cells, but not harm normal cells. Ultimately, after 7 years of working at Baylor College, I was ready to start human experiments, clinical trials, but I couldn't get anywhere at Baylor regarding this issue. So finally I decided to get out of Baylor and establish my own clinic and my own pharmaceutical companies to be able to develop the medicines, produce them, and use them in clinical trials in patients. We went a long way since then. We have state-of-art pharmaceutical facility. We have the clinic which employs 24 medical doctors and few other PhDs, and a total of about 130 employees, including, of course, board-certified oncologists. And so we are now very well equipped to help people who have very advanced cancer, and we are making headways regarding final approval of antineoplastos. We are now in phase 3 clinical trials for the worst type of cancer possible, which is inoperable brainstem glioma in children. And we are hoping that if everything goes well, then FDA will grant us approval for angioplasty, and then every doctor in the country will be able to use them.
Well, I certainly hope so. And I'll tell you what, you have been just an amazing researcher, and I'm just so pleased you've taken time to be with us today. I want to be sure to announce again our special guest, if you tuned in late, is Dr. Brzezinski, who is a medical doctor in Houston, Texas. And he's been making news all over the world because, Dr. Brzezinski, you're very modest. You have been curing cancer for thousands and thousands of patients all over the world that fly in to see you, and I've been one of your biggest fans for the depth of my career, and I just really appreciate you so much. And I know that Suzanne Summers featured you in her recent book called Knockout, which is dedicated to interviewing the greatest doctors in the world that are curing cancer. And we're just in awe of the type of research that you've been doing, because it is sweeping the country coast to coast and around the globe as you're curing people with various forms of cancer. Not only simple cases of cancer, but we're talking about advanced terminal cancer where all the other doctors have given up. So perhaps, Doctor, let's back up for just a moment. If you could please give us a simple explanation of your cancer therapy. A lot of people are wondering, they're a little bit in the dark. Could you please describe the anti-neoplastins and what are they and how does this work?
Well, I'd be glad to do it. Well, I'm hoping that a number of listeners read the article which occurred just 2 days ago in the New York Times, and this was about a breakthrough in the treatment of malignant melanoma, one of the worst type of malignancy you can get, and how it was possible to successfully treat a small group of patients. This was because the doctors discovered mutation in one of the genes which is causing malignant melanoma cells to multiply. Then they introduced a medicine which works as genetic switch. It turned off the activity of this gene. And amazingly, in a number of patients, the tumors disappeared. They were amazed, and obviously the New York Times was saying that this is the beginning of a new era of personalized gene-targeted therapy, and certainly it is. But we were doing personalized cancer treatment 30 years ago, because angioplastins are molecular switches. They work on a number of genes which are causing cancer cells to grow. In every cancer, you have an evil network of from about 2,000 to 4,000 abnormal genes, which conspire to make sure that the cancer cells will grow and they will overcome the normal cells. This is an extremely complex network, about 4,000 genes which are joined together and which are making sure that the cancer cells are surviving. Well, it happens that the breakthrough described in the New York Times works only as a molecular switch on one gene. And can you imagine, with just one molecular switch, they could obtain complete disappearance of tumors in few patients? That's a great success. But antineoplastins are molecular switches which works on close to 100 genes. It's like you would use 100 molecular switches which turn off about 70 genes which are causing cancer and turn on a bunch of genes which are fighting cancer. So that's how antineoplastins works. It's a multi-targeted therapy which works on the genes which are causing cancer. That's why when we use antineoplastins in some of the worst types of cancer you can get, like highly malignant brain tumors or malignant melanoma, we are able to cure these people. Not everybody, of course, but a number of them, and a number of these patients are now surviving not over 5 years, but over 20 years previously diagnosed with incurable malignant melanoma or brain tumors. And we are making further progress trying to find out why some patients respond and some patients don't respond. And the answer is clear, because cancer is a highly personalized disease. It's not sufficient to know the name, like, for instance, breast cancer, because breast cancer is a combination of 1,000 different types of cancer which have different genetic signatures, different combinations of, say, from 2,000 to 4,000 different genes. So this is an extremely complex combination, and if you don't know which genes are involved in the patient cancer, you really don't know what you are treating. You have to see the target for the treatment, and this is possible to do even with today's technology. And that's what we do for every patient who comes to our clinic. We try to determine genetic signature of the cancers by using testing on pathology specimen and blood testing, and then we select proper combination of medications, including antineoplastos, which works on such genes. If you have the right combination of medicines which are working on the proper targets, then you know what you are treating, and then you can have good results. Otherwise, you are moving blindly. The approach which is used now for standard cancer treatment, that everybody should receive the same type of treatment for the same diagnosis, it works only for a small number of patients because there's such a great difference between one patient and another. This is highly personalized disease, and yes, it requires personalized approach. It requires to identify what is causing the problem and treat these genes with proper medication. And that's what we are trying to do in our clinic every day.
Dr. Brzezinski, could you please explain a little bit further about, you mentioned the genetic signature of cancer. How do you identify and what testing do you conduct in order to evaluate and come up with a genetic signature of cancer for each individual patient?
Such tests have been introduced some time ago, and one of the first cancers for which the tests were introduced is breast cancer. For instance, about 20 years ago, the doctors began testing specimens taken during the biopsy or during the surgery for the gene which is called HER2. They found that about 25% of breast cancer patients have increased activity of this gene or mutation of this gene. And because of that, it was possible to introduce one of the first magic bullets, which was Herceptin. Herceptin is the antibody which goes after cancer cells, which have increased amount of this gene product and kills such cancer cells. It's not yet the cure because obviously working on single gene is not enough, but again, it makes a substantial breakthrough in the treatment of breast cancer. Since then, the doctors and pharmaceutical companies were trying to identify a number of different genes which are causing problems, which are the most important oncogenes in cancer, and introduce medications which can kill cancer cells which have such abnormal genes. And this is called gene-targeted therapy. Currently, there are about 30 medications approved by the FDA for different types of cancer, which works on the genes which are causing cancer. And it is predicted that in about another 3 to 4 years, there will be hundreds of them. This is completely going to change the face of oncology as we see today. Certainly, chemotherapy and radiation therapy may be still used, but the emphasis will be on gene therapy, on gene-targeted therapy, on finding out which genes are causing problems in an individual patient and use proper combination of medication for such patients. Well, there was a very good article a short time ago by Dr. Bernardine Healy, who previously was in charge of the National Institute of Health in the United States. The article occurred in U.S. News and World Report, and Dr. Healy was saying that 30 years from now, in the year 2040, when the patient goes to the oncologist will start with running a gene testing to find out which genes are causing cancer, and then the data will be fed into a computer, and the computer will come up with exact treatment program tailored for this particular patient. And this will be different for patient number one to patient number two. Well, Dr. Healy feels that this will be in the year 2040. Well, basically, that's what we are doing now. We don't have yet computer program which can decide which medicines are best, but we are using our brain. But hopefully, yes, in the next year or two, we will have a computer program which will decide which treatment will be the best based on genetic signature of cancer.
This is totally amazing, Dr. Brzezinski. You've been way ahead of your time by many decades, actually. You brought this treatment over 30 years ago to the United States from Poland, and your research was stymied to some extent and delayed through a number of different situations we really won't get into, but the movie does. As a matter of fact, we want to let everybody know that a special movie has been made about Dr. Brzezinski and his treatment for cancer, and you can go to a website that is www.brzezinskimovie.com. That's spelled B-U-R-Z-Y-N-S-K-I movie, M-O-V-I-E.com. Also, you can contact Dr. Brzezinski. You can go to his website at www.brzezinskiclinic.com. That's B-U-R-Z-Y-N-S-K-I clinic. Brzezinski@gmail.com. Also, you can send emails to the executive assistant of Dr. Brzezinski, Darlene@BrzezinskiClinic.com, and that's Darlene@Brzezinski, Brzezinski, clinic.com. I'm so excited to have you back on the show. It's been 20 years since I spoke with you, and it's long overdue, and I really appreciate this update. Also, I want to be sure to mention again that a movie has been made about Dr. Brzezinski and his treatment for cancer. It's going to debut Sunday, March 28th at 12:30 p.m. at the Paramount Theater Garden State Film Festival, Asbury Park, New Jersey. And again, you can find out more information about the movie by going to www.BrzezinskiMovie.com, BrzezinskiMovie.com, and learn all about this movie and when you can see this movie yourself. It's very, very important. Dr. Brzezinski, please hang on. We're so thankful that you're with us today. We love you and appreciate you. We have lots of people right now that are suffering with cancer, and you're giving them new hope to live. Thank you so much, and don't go away. Hey, listen, don't touch that dial. I'll be right back right after this. I'll be right back in just a moment.
Healthy House Call, bringing you new milestones in medical research. Here again, your host, Dan Kuntz.
Thank you, Michael O'Connor. I'll tell you what, welcome back. We have a special guest, and I'll tell you what, this is probably one of the most important interviews we have ever done, certainly in the past number of years. We've been on the show and up on the air in Arizona since 1975. If you tuned in late, our special guest is world-famous Dr. Brzezinski, who is just one of the world's leaders in cancer research. Probably the number, I call him the number one researcher, because he's come up with many, many protocols that are curing cancer coast to coast and around the world. As a matter of fact, you can read more about this in Suzanne Summer's newest book called Knockout, Interviews with Doctors Who Are Curing Cancer and How to Prevent Getting It in the First Place. I want everybody to read this book by Suzanne Summer. She's going to be here, by the way, on May 1st for a special dinner honoring Holistic Man of the Year Stan Kelson. And, of course, Suzanne Summers is here to accept a special award that she's being honored with from the Arizona Homeopathic Medical Association. I want to be sure to read a statement that is in this book on page 20 by Suzanne Summers. At the forefront of treatment and at the center of this book are Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, and Dr. James Forsythe. I've interviewed many of their patients, who all claim that unorthodox treatments are by these doctors who have saved their lives. That's on page 20 of Suzanne Summers' Knockout, and I strongly urge each and every one of you to get your own personal copy of this book. We have it right here at Healthy Habit Health Foods. Also, a lot of folks have been asking about the movie. We were inundated with phone calls during the break. If you want to go to the website that's discussing Dr. Brzezinski's clinic, you can go to www.BrzezinskiClinic.com. That's BrzezinskiClinic.com. You can also contact, you do a direct email with Darlene@BrzezinskiClinic.com, or you can go to srb@BrzezinskiClinic.com. Very, very important. And I'll tell you what, this is one of our most important interviews we've had in many, many years. And certainly I also want to give you the website to where you can discuss and get more information on the movie of Dr. Brzezinski. It's www.Brzezinski, that's BrzezinskiMovie.com. And this is debuting and featuring on March 28th, 12:30 p.m. at the Paramount Theater in the Garden State Film Festival in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And you can go to that website and find out more about the movie, when it's going to be here, and more about Dr. Brzezinski, because this movie is produced for each and every one of you, especially those people that are concerned about cancer. And guess what? The American Cancer Society has been telling us for years now that 50% of everyone in the globe, on the entire planet, is going to get some type of cancer sometime during your lifetime. That's 50%. Now, that's a pretty high figure. This doctor we have today, Dr. Brzezinski, is here to tell you about his research. And I'll tell you what, we're going to get back on target here, and we're going to talk directly right now with Dr. Brzezinski. Dr. Brzezinski, thanks for holding. We appreciate that. We've got a lot of the special announcements that we've covered now. And let's get in and just jump in and get wet all over discussing your amazing treatment that you developed and you've pioneered over the past 30 years. Perhaps if you could describe what we call your targeted therapy model, and explain how your particular clinic has pioneered this model over the past 30 years.
Well, as I explained before, cancer is caused by abnormality in the genes. And in average cancer, we have a combination of approximately from 2,000 to 4,000 genes, which we can say conspire to make sure that the cancer cell will survive and will take over the body. And so the right way to treat cancer is to identify the abnormal genes, at least the leading genes which are causing cancer, and treat them. Not really treat cancer as such, but treat the genes which are causing cancer. But of course, in order to do it right, you need to identify the genes which are causing the problem. And that's different from one patient to another. You may have two patients who are diagnosed with breast cancer and on the surface, their history is pretty much the same, but the genetic signature in each of them is different. Because people are different genetically, they have some personal genetic signature, and cancers also, they do have differences in genetic makeup. If you don't identify which are the most important genes in individual patient, you may not have the right results in the treatment. And that's
exactly
the basis of personalized gene-targeted therapy. We have to identify which are the most important genes which are causing cancer and select the medications currently from the group of 30 which are available in the United States, which will kill cancer cells which carry such abnormal genes. Then you may avoid spending money for medicines which could be completely useless. You won't have exposure to medicines which can cause adverse reactions. You just select what's the best for this particular patient. Similarly, if you treat infections, you need to know which germs are causing pneumonia, or which germs are causing kidney infection, whatever. You do it by taking the culture and by finding which antibiotics work on such bacteria. Then use combination of antibiotics, and then the infection is taken care of. By the same token, in cancer, you have to use combination of the genes, combination of the medicines which work on the genes which are causing cancer. And then
yes,
you may have very good results if you follow such principle. That's what is really defined as the future of the medicine. Not the same treatment for everybody, but the treatment which is selective for individual patients.
Exactly.
Antioplastons play an important part in this because antioplastons work on close to 100 different genes. They cover a large territory, and that's why we have good success in many different types of cancer. But obviously, we can't help everybody. We can have a number of patients, but there are still some patients who have different genes involved for which antioplastins don't work. That's why we may need to combine them with some other medicines which are currently available and work on the genes.
Dr. Brzezinski, we had a call that came in during the break about a young lady that has breast cancer in the late stages now. Is it possible, at what point would a case be considered incurable? I think that you've been leading the field with incurable cases since the inception of your practice. Perhaps you could give us some insight. This lady is looking for new hope. She's been listening to this broadcast with great interest. She had breast cancer in the late stages. What would you suggest for this young lady?
First of all, I would like to know medical history. I would like to find out what kind of treatment was given before. If she exhausted the possibility of being helped by standard approach, which is mostly chemotherapy, then we'd be glad to see her. And the first things which we'll do, we'll examine her. We will have analysis of the genes in her body which are causing cancer. We do it based on the study of pathology specimen and also based on the blood test. The blood test can give us the results within about 2 days, which is very important, but they may not be as accurate as a study of pathology specimen. The results on the study of pathology specimen usually come after about 2 to 3 weeks. We can always make corrections after we receive such results. But basically, if we find out that we can identify a number of genes which are causing cancer for which we have treatment, she may have successful treatment. We see such cases all the time. The patients who were sent to hospice, the patients who were told there's nothing we can do for you, they're coming to us, and if they have the right genetic changes for which we have treatment at this moment, we can help them. And we can see the results within a month or within 2 months, and with tumors melting away and disappearing.
Dr. Brzezinski, have you had any research and any success in working with patients with leukemia?
Well, leukemia, only certain types of leukemia. We do not treat acute forms of leukemia because we are not equipped to do it. We are outpatient facility, and acute form leukemia require hospital treatment. But we treat a number of patients with chronic form of leukemia, and we are getting good results. Of course, not in everybody, but in a good number of patients.
Wonderful. So the prognosis with your treatment is, would you consider
it
favorable?
Well, if I may interject something. The telephone number which you gave had some errors. The telephone number is 713-335-5697. 713-335-5697. So that's the right telephone number.
Frank, thank you so much. Again, that's 713-335-5697. Thanks for that correction.
That's the correct
I appreciate that. Very, very. I appreciate that so much. And so the correct number, we'll get that again in just a moment. So your experience in working with leukemia has been positive for select cases. Is that correct?
Correct, yes. But this usually applies to adult patients who have chronic forms of leukemia. We do not accept children with acute form of leukemia because they can have better results with standard treatment.
Okay,
but
for
again,
those patients,
if we, in our patient population, close to 50% of patients diagnosed with leukemia have objective responses to the treatment. So we can help such patients, but not for every type of leukemia, only for some types of leukemia.
I see. And can you specify exactly what types of leukemia you've had the best results with?
Chronic lymphocytic leukemia, that's the type which we treat frequently, and less frequently chronic myelogenous leukemia.
I see. Okay, well, very good. Thank you so much. Now, you've been doing some clinical trials down there. I want to make sure that we've discussed this right now because the anti-neoplastins clinical trials have been underway for quite a while. Perhaps you could just give us a thumbnail sketch of what that's all about and what's happening with that.
Well, in the approval of medication for cancer, you have to go through various steps of approval. First, phase one, then phase two, and finally phase three trials. We currently have positive results indicating complete disappearance of the tumors or substantial reduction of the tumors in 12 phase two clinical trials. These phase two clinical trials cover different incurable types of brain tumors, both in adults and children. Well, what FDA would like to know when you conduct phase two trials is that, first of all, you can prove that you have objective response. That means that in at least good percentage of patients, and usually this is in over 20% of patients, you can produce disappearance of the tumors, which is called complete response, or more than 50% decrease of the tumor size, which is partial response. This is called together as objective response. When you prove that you have such results in a substantial percentage of patients, then FDA may allow you to proceed with phase three clinical trial, which practically would repeat the results of phase two, confirming that you can get rid of the tumors or decrease the tumors.
Okay.
And it should also show the advantage of the other standard therapy.
Wonderful. I really appreciate that. Yes, go ahead.
Once you go through phase three clinical trials successfully, then FDA should approve medication for marketing, and then it will be available for patients all over the United States. Any doctor can prescribe it. Well, currently we have 12 phase two clinical trials which prove that the treatment works, and works not only because the tumors are decreasing and disappearing, but the patients are surviving easily over 5 or even over 10 years without any tumor. So if somebody survives over 5 years without any sign of malignant tumor, he fits the definition of the cure. We have a number of such patients who are now not only 5 years tumor-free, but over 10 years or even 20 years tumor-free. Most of the medicines which were approved by the FDA for the treatment of brain tumors were approved based on phase two clinical trials. And the process is called accelerated approval. Then after a while, when the company decided to proceed with phase three clinical trials, FDA was changing accelerated approval to standard approval of the medication. We are now entering phase three trials. We have permission from FDA to begin the first phase three trial, which should start very soon. And this is for the worst type of tumor you can get, which is inoperable brainstem glioma in children.
Very, very important. I appreciate that. And also, we had a number of calls regarding insurance coverage for your treatment. Perhaps you could address the cost of your treatment and how insurance reimbursement could help improve access to your treatment.
Well, our treatment consists of medical services, which means consultation, office visits, plus the medications. The medications are obtained from the pharmacy, and the main cost of the treatment is the cost of medications. In most cases, the insurance covers the cost of medications. Right. However, sometimes they require special justification why they should pay for medication, for instance, which has been approved for colon cancer and is used, for instance, for the treatment of stomach cancer. Well, this is governed by off-label regulation. The regulation in the United States permits doctors to use medications approved for one type of cancer in another patient who has a different type of cancer if there is certain evidence in medical journals, in articles, which shows that such treatment makes sense. And that's the information which we frequently provide to the insurance companies. And then in many of our patients, the treatment is completely covered. In some others, it's not, but it really depends what kind of insurance policies the patients have. As far as our medical services cost, well, this is substantially lower than standard cost of medical services in any good oncologist office in Houston. But I must admit that the cost of medications could be substantial, but it's not really the cost which is imposed by us. This is the cost of pharmaceutical companies which are making medications.
Certainly, I understand that. Well, many of our patients and many of the listeners right now are, of course, wondering that, and they're very thankful. The other thing I wanted to be sure to mention and touch base on for just a moment, we had some calls during the break. People wanted to know what type of nutritional support that you have found beneficial in working with your cancer patients. Perhaps you could elaborate on that.
Well, certainly, every patient has nutritional consultation. We have two departments of medical oncology, and in each of them we have qualified nutritionists who is giving such consultation. And again, this is personalized nutritional plan. Every patient is evaluated individually based on metabolic panel, based on type of cancer the patient has, and also the medication the patient is taking. So this is really individual treatment and nutritional plan for every patient. But what we emphasize, we certainly emphasize the vitamins and amino acids which can fight cancer, and we don't want to give vitamins or amino acids which can promote cancer. This, again, depends on individual patients. Certain cancers can be inhibited by some vitamins, but some other cancers can be promoted by the same vitamins. So this is a complex issue, and this needs to be individually designed for every patient. Our treatment is individually designed for every patient, and also a nutritional approach. So every patient is evaluated separately, and then we would like to find out what is the best what you can do to make this patient well and to get rid of his cancer. So that's our ultimate goal, to select whatever treatment or whatever nutritional management are available to make sure the patient is doing well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Dr. Brzezinski. We're almost out of time, Dr. Brzezinski, and I appreciate that. I want to give your number one more time, 713-335-5697 for Dr. Brzezinski's clinic in Houston, Texas. You can also go to www.brzezinskiclinic.com and also go to www.brzezinskimovie.com to learn all about Dr. Brzezinski's new movie that's been all filmed all about him and his cancer treatment. Once again, Dr. Brzezinski can be reached at 713-335-5697. Dr. Brzezinski, thank you so much for being with us today. You are awesome. We love you and appreciate you so much, and we'll be talking to you very, very soon.